Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the South Carolina Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Thank you, Father, for another Sunday morning in your service. Thank you for another day with your people. And Lord, we seek your blessing. We seek to bless you. Pray that you would receive our worship. And Lord, for all of us around the country that are prepping for this trip, we ask that you would bless that too and get us there safely and in good order and ready to receive. In Jesus' name, amen.
Celebrate. would cheer. Come on. I know somebody's out there. All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Sunday morning service, and thank you. And it's good to be back for a brief time. And then I'll leave, and then we'll be back, and then we'll leave, and it happens. Over the last few weeks, there's been a lot of sermons. They've kind of been focusing on, you know, being that living sacrifice. Focusing on discipline. I mean, really, what that is it's the basic Christian walk. I mean, it's Christian 101. The two commandments that Jesus gives us is love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, soul, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. I may have paraphrased it, but I think it's pretty close. And if we're going to do that, we have to take into account the steps that are necessary in order to make that happen. Turn over to Luke chapter 14. I'm going to read starting at 25. But before I do, I want you guys to get in your head sort of that thought of what is necessary. And as I read this, think, what is holding me back? From verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That's something. Hate, in the sense here, is to not prefer. Because we're to prefer the Lord, prefer Jesus over all of these things. But far too often, I know for me in the past, far too often, I would be concerned with the thoughts of my friends, so-called, in the world, my extended family, my mother, my father, cousins, these sorts of things. Oh, I don't want to offend them. Oh, they're going to think I'm crazy. Paul probably said something about, yeah, me being crazy anyway and not to worry about it. I didn't catch all of it, but I think I got the gist. Yeah, that horse is already out the barn, he said. But yeah. That preference, that choice, I mean, that's a love that isn't based on feeling, that isn't based on your feelings or how it makes the other people feel. It's based upon your love of God and your love of your father, mother, brother, sister, friend, to show them the difference. Something that they may have never seen before. The problem that many of us get to is in our flesh we have this feeling of contentment. We don't like change. We like things to just be all right. Just be okay. I don't want to make anybody angry. I don't want to upset the apple cart. I'm just fine just doing this little thing here, and yeah, it's not perfect. Oh, it doesn't work right, and it'll probably lead me to hell, but I feel okay in this place. And that's a horrific place to be, because you're not moving forward in the Lord. You're staying stuck in your flesh. You are just standing still in this world. In that place, you have no hope. In that place, you're not sharing love. The love you're showing is the love of yourself. That feeling of contentment, it will kill you. Turn over to Hebrews 12. Verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are all... I apologize, let me start again. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. There's a lot in that verse, that passage that I read, but I wanted to focus on, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I know if somebody's out running a race, they're working. They're focused. They're focused on that finish line. They're focused on getting to the end. They're willing to do what is necessary in order to get there, in order to win, in order to finish. Now, as a Christian, are you? Are you willing to move forward, to run that race, to lay aside all these weights, all these cares? And what's holding you back? The only thing that's holding you back is yourself. The cares of this world, maybe it's pride, maybe you esteem, you know, knowledge, or your self-esteem is what you esteem. You feel good. When you're doing that, you're putting yourself before God. Others, our feelings, and ourselves. These are the things that hold us back. If we're going to put God in the rightful place, which is first in each and every one of our lives, we're not going to allow others, things, feelings, ourselves to hold us back from completing that race. Because if we do complete that race and we get to the end of that race, the end at that finish line is Jesus with eternal life saying, "Welcome in, my faithful servant." Or do you want to middle through in that little contentment where it feels good, come to the end, and have him say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you." I want the victory. He has overcome the world. I want to be in him so that I can be above the world, and I want to walk with him for all of eternity as his faithful servant. And I encourage each and every one of you to search your hearts. Find that thing that's holding you back. Cast it down and move forward in him.
this thing on. All right. Good morning. I approach time to come up here. I'm still wanting to talk about gluing my fingers together, but my incompetence at handling super glue is really not the point of coming up here. The thing that kind of hits me is that going to Luke 14:26, if you actually, if any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife and children, brethren and sisters, yea, his own life, he cannot be my disciple. As far as those people in your life, if you set your face to serve and please the Lord, you're not going to need to announce to them that you're not going to prefer them anymore. You're going to prefer Jesus. They're going to figure that out and get in a snit, generally. So the separation occurs because they have not the Spirit of God. And who you decide to chase after is who you want to serve. And please, it's not important that they like you. It's important that the Lord's pleased. That's really all there is. And made reference once again to Romans 12, and I was listening to that again this morning. The preaching that we always hear on that is in light of of becoming a living sacrifice for our own benefit. That's a aspect, perhaps, of it. But when it starts talking about in the next verse, the transformation, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, that you may prove what is acceptable. I probably ought to be looking at that because I'm about to mess up the quote. What is acceptable and perfect will of God? Well, was not Jesus walking around proving what was the perfect will of God? Every time he did something, it was of the Father, right? That transformation through the renewing of our mind and not being conformed to this world, but being transformed, it's about learning how to do things the way he did them. Because you want to please the Father. Did he have any need of becoming a living sacrifice? To justify himself? No. He became a living sacrifice so that others could be justified. It was because he loved us that he took our sin on himself. And, you know, when he's dealing with, I'm thinking about the woman at the well, I'm thinking about the blind guy, with the Grand Inquisition in John 9, the He did what he did because he loved these people. It was not about getting them to like him. That was not what his deal was. He was about showing them the Father. Showing them how good the Father was. How much the Father loved his people. That he sent him to show us how to love one another. To show us how to please the Father. To show us not how to be, how not to be a bunch of selfish, self-consumed individuals. I cleaned that up pretty quick. Pretty good. None of that comes naturally to us. So we need to pay attention to the preaching of the Word. We need to pay attention to the reading of the Word. We need to be paying attention to the fellowship of the saints and exhorting one another and provoking one another. To love and good works. Exhorting one another, singing in psalms and spiritual songs and praising the Lord over and over again for his magnificent love and mercy and grace. And keeping in mind, bringing ourselves back to the mindset that none of this is because we're special or anything to write home about. It's because he's good and he's about the business of fixing us so that we can do his thing for other people. His thing. Love one another. You know my disciples by, you'll know they're my disciples by their love one for another. Getting outside of yourself. Looking at other people's things and caring about their things. Caring about what's going on in their lives. Seeing to it that they have the needs that they filled that they have. This is what we're supposed to be about. This is what Jesus was about. This wasn't just a three-act play where he's like, we're going to heal the sick, we're going to feed the thousands, and then I'm going to go hang. This was about a demonstration of how to serve the Father. How to please the Father. How to be successful and profitable for others in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we will learn that, then we will have wrapped ourselves around the gospel. Done.
I live. Well, good morning, everybody. You know, as I was listening this morning to Scott, and one of the things is getting that place of contentment, getting that place where you're stuck. And it's actually that place, if you remain there, you actually slide backwards. You know, you actually move backwards. If you're not engaging in that fight, you next thing you know, you're just giving the enemy place, you're giving the enemy place, you're giving the enemy place, and you're backsliding. I mean, it's not like you know, when you run that race, it's not like all of a sudden you stop and then, no, you actually go backwards. You actually go backwards. But it's an interesting thing. I mean, Paul, you're basically talking about it. It's not natural for us to love God and love one another. Not by a long shot. That doesn't come. That's not like you wake up in the morning and you go, praise God. I mean, I naturally want to love God. I naturally want to love one another. But see, that's the old man. See, the new man's completely different. The new man wants to serve the Lord. The new man wants to love God, wants to love one another. And see, that's the gift that he's given us. But before we take on that new man, we got to put that old man down. You can't have the both. And one of the things when Scott was talking about loving one another, it's not that philios love. It's that agape love. And I know just talking with some folks and talking with you, I know talking Brad, he's learning some lessons in that as well. I'm learning some lessons in that. I think we're all learning some lessons with that. I mean, sometimes the grace and merciful thing is actually to the outside, to the natural man, looks harsh. But it actually is what is necessary and actually is the love of Christ. And to the natural man, it's just like, it detests it. Because it doesn't feel good. But it's actually the right thing. I mean, do you think when Jesus went and turned over those tables in the synagogue there, threw up that cat of nine tails and went through that temple, do you think that made people feel good? When he went and... no, thank you. When he went and he told people the truth, remember how many times they went to... It's so funny. He'd go for one town. They're ready to throw him off a cliff. And pick up the rocks. He goes to another place. They're ready to king him. Ready to put him up on the throne. But he always operated in that agape love. Doing the will of the Father. But it's an interesting thing. When you're talking about hate not your mother, your brother, your sister, yeah, your own life also, and preferring the Lord above all those things, it's actually in that place where it's the place where you can love somebody that does them any good. Not this filios love, that doesn't do anybody any good. But it's just that you're willing to tell them the truth. And it's in that place that actually you can give them something good to hang on to. And that's Jesus Christ. You know, it's an interesting thing. And you're talking about this sin that so easily besets us. And, you know, I talked to Steve this past week. And it was an interesting thing because I hadn't talked to Steve in a while. And when I talked to Steve this past week, it was an interesting, all he had to do was just, you know, I just told him where I was at, what I was battling with, the struggles that I've been struggling with. And he just gave me one simple perspective. One simple perspective. And when I was able to grab a hold of that one simple perspective, and actually apply that in my walk, you wouldn't believe all the turmoil, all the struggles, all the things. It was just like walls come tumbling down. See, See, that's, you're talking about exhorting one another, provoking one another to love and good works. Out of a conversation, do you give somebody that word that helps them through and breaks through those lies of the enemy that's stacked around them? See, it was just amazing to me. It wasn't even long. I think it was about 5 minutes. And it was the thing that just the walls came tumbling down. Are we ministering that to one another? Are we ministering to that to those that are without? I know within myself, I look and I go, oh Lord, have mercy upon me and them. But praise be to God. You know, we were, I was looking in actually, this is really what I was looking at this morning. I was looking in 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter, it's one of those things. I'm in a position, and I don't know if anybody can relate to this. They probably can. Actually, majority, probably all of you can relate to this, but it's actually in positions where I'm actually engaged in, that my hand's engaged in, so be it at work or whatever the case may be, is really a position and naturally I don't want to be in. I naturally, it's not something I want to do. I want to hightail it and run. I don't want responsibility. I don't want responsibility for others. I'm a, you know, naturally a selfish jerk and don't want to engage in any of these things. But it's actually what the Lord has called me to do, and see when I can change my mind in the midst of that and engage and say, Lord, whatever you would have me do, I'm just here to serve you and to please you, Lord. It's an amazing thing that in that place, you allow the Lord to move in your life. See, a lot of times we want all the good things of the Lord, but we're not about seeking or pleasing Him with it. We're just about consuming it upon our own lust. And for our own selves, why would He do that for you if that's what you're about? See, if you're about serving Him in the midst of these things, you allow Him to move in your life and others, because it's about bringing glory, honor, and praise to Him and how good He is. And when I look and I look at the things that I really, by nature, don't want to engage myself in or don't want to have anything to do with, it's actually the thing when I go engage it, it's actually the thing that is good for me and good for others, and it's something that where I can learn from. And it's that process where I learn the faith and practice my faith in Jesus Christ and His ability. It strengthens me. And it will strengthen you. I kind of want to go to 1 Peter chapter 1. And I want to go to verse 6. It says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Now, I think every single one of us knows what that is, what that means, how that is. The manifold temptations. You know, it was like the place I was before I talked to Steve. It was a place of manifold temptations, man. There was just, man, I was in a place of exit stage left, stage right, stage backwards, not forward. I wanted to get out. of the situation. I wanted to be out of those things. But it was actually, it's in that place where my faith gets strengthened. See, now I could exit stage left. I could exit stage right. And I could exit stage backward. But what good would that be for me? What good would that be for others? It wouldn't be good at all. But when I move forward in trusting Him, what gets strengthened is my faith. You take a look at Joseph, for an example. Joseph went through, I would say, hell and high water, did he not? I'm sure it wasn't a place where he wanted to be, where he was like sold into captivity. I'm sure Joseph wasn't like, oh yeah, boy, man, that's the route. That's it. That's what I want. Or the place where he was in jail and locked up. And he's going, oh yeah, that's where I want to be. I'm sure it wasn't when, you know, that master's wife lied about him. I'm sure he was going, all right. Yeah. No, but what he did do in facing in the midst of those situations is he chose to trust in the Lord, in God. And his faith was strengthened. And he became a part of God's plan in the midst of it, and it was exactly God's plan for him to partake of. And it was what the Lord used to fulfill His promise. Are we willing to be a part of that plan in the same way? See, because when it comes down where you want to be a servant of Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what you want. Or what you're going through, what you prefer to do, what you don't prefer to do. Because all your focus is you prefer to do what the Lord would have you do. And that's all that matters. See, when you become a soldier for Jesus Christ, when you become an army of His, man, you lay down your life. It's not yours anymore. He owns you. You were talking about being that living sacrifice. It's His. Your life is His. And those manifold temptations or whatever the situation may be, it doesn't matter. You're just about serving Him. Phil, go do this. Sorry. Phil, go do this. Praise God, amen. Phil, I want you to start doing this. Praise God, amen. It'd be nice if that was my first reaction. Honestly, it's usually like, oh my goodness, what? But I want to read the next verse here. The next verse, it says, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now ye see Him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. We're talking about salvation. There's nothing in this life that can amount to the salvation of Jesus Christ. Nothing. It doesn't matter. There's nothing greater than that. There is no greater prize than Him. Yeah, I mean, we have that choice, man. We can enjoy this life for a season, but it's as a vapor compared to eternity. But a vapor. But a smoke compared to eternity. Do you want to just enjoy that? Just for that vapor of moment? Or do you want the salvation of Jesus Christ? See, serving the Lord is, man, you means you when you accept Him, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He's you are His. He owns you. And it doesn't matter what He would have you do. It doesn't matter what you have or you don't have in this life. It really just doesn't matter. You're His. He calls the shots. You say, yes, Lord, amen. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to serve you. Thank you, Lord, for giving me an opportunity to be a part of your plan. Thank you, Lord. But it's about making that choice. Whom are you going to serve? Don't deceive yourself. Don't be in that place where you're trying to serve the two masters, yourself and the Lord. All right, Lord, you know, I'll give you so much time, but the rest of this time is mine. Lord, I'll give you but so much of my life, but the rest of this time is mine. Lord, I'll see you on Sunday, and but that rest of the week is mine. No, don't work like that. Don't think you're going to receive anything of the Lord that way. Don't think you're going to move forward in the Lord that way. You're just going to fall back. You're just going to backslide. And get in your closets. Repent of the way you have been. Make that choice to serve Him. I beg of you. And the truth of the matter is, man, God can't make that choice for you. Your husband can't make that choice for you. Your wife can't make that choice for you. Your children can't make that choice for you. Your parents can't make that choice for you. That's a choice you make. That's a choice you make. And let's face it, folks. What we had in times past really freaking sucked. I know my life before Christ was terrible. It was horrible. It was miserable. Was death and destruction even in this life. And what the Lord's given me is far greater. And what He's trying to give all of us, or what He has given all of us, whether we receive it or not, is life and life more abundantly. Encourage you. Let's all grab a hold of that life. Amen. Turn on your mic.
When you actually get a hold of that developed servant's heart, you actually can become a friend. And a friend knows what the master's doing. And that's a good thing. That's something to press towards and to aspire to. And it's not just, you know, a crush about crushing servitude. It is about an attitude that says, yes, Lord, whatever you want. And when you actually can learn to love that, You can become a friend. You want this one?
But whether he shows you or not, you know it says the servant doesn't know what the Lord's master is, but the friend does. But whenever he shows you or not, it doesn't matter. You can get to that place, praise God. He shows you why, praise God. He doesn't, praise God. Serve him, because he's good. In him is light, and there's no darkness at all.
Go!
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.